Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we turn to John 19, verses 17 through 27, concerning the crucifixion of our Lord. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. Thus far the reading of the word of our Lord, may he add his blessing to it. As we open God's Word this morning, we look at the crucifixion of Jesus, the crucifixion of our Savior. As we see Him on the cross, we see Him still the King of the Jews. We see Him the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We see Him crucified and yet giving His life to give life to those who would believe on Him. The theme that we want to see this morning is our Savior is crucified under the title King of the Jews. Our Savior is crucified under the title King of the Jews. As we look at this passage, we'll see four things. First of all, we see in verse 17, our Savior bearing his cross. Second of all, in verses 18, as well as verses 23 through 24, we see Jesus' crucifixion as fulfillment of prophecy. Third, we see in verses 19 through 22, our Savior, the King of the Jews. And then in verses 25 through 27, we see our Savior is in charge, loving in his crucifixion. So first of all, we see our Savior bearing his cross. Now, if we don't understand what Jesus said again and again in his ministry, that those who follow me should take up their cross, it is graphically portrayed for us in this passage. Bearing his instrument of death, giving his life for us. We read in Mark 10, verse 21, Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, One thing you lack, go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Notice what Jesus says to him, Your treasure isn't on this earth. Sell what you have. So many people want Jesus and yet want treasure upon this earth. Our Savior did not have treasure upon this earth. He went to the cross. His treasure is in heaven. His glory is in heaven. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 4, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs upon the cross and before. We see that people are called to take up their cross and follow Christ. The cross is an instrument of death. We must be ready to follow Christ to death, to give our lives, to live our lives, but indeed also to give those lives, if need be, for the service, for the glory of our Savior. Jesus said, Mark 8:35, For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires to lose his life for my sake, then the Gospels will save it. And so we see our Savior bearing his cross on the way to die so that we might have life. He carries the cross to the place of the skull, to Golgotha. And they crucified two others with him. Again, we see the crucifixion is a fulfillment of prophecy. He is crucified among thieves. He is numbered among the transgressors. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Christ was crucified among thieves, verse 18 says, "where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center." As we consider this, we are reminded that Christ was crucified among the transgressors, numbered among them, among us, because we deserve the death that he died. We deserve the penalty that he paid. And so Christ's fulfillment was a fulfillment of this prophecy, and yet they also fulfilled the fact that he was prophesied that his garments would be divided, and for his clothing they cast lots. We read in Psalm 22, 16 through 18, "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Jesus was crucified destitute, without anything upon this earth, because it wasn't a matter of what he had upon this earth. It was a matter of what he came to this earth to do, that he gave his life. It was a matter that he lived and he died so that we might have life. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament that he came to this earth, that he was the God, God of gods and Lord of lords. He came and he suffered and he went to the cross. He paid our penalty. The fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament from Genesis 3:18 onward, that he came forward, that he came to this earth so that we might have life, to pay the penalty for our sins. Our Savior, who is the King of the Jews. Now the Pilate writes this upon him, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," writes it in a title above him. This is truth in advertising. They were crucifying their Lord, their King, the Messiah, as we've just been saying, the anointed Savior, whom they had been looking for hundreds of years, but they did not see him when he was upon this earth. They did not believe on him. He was despised. He was rejected. And yet he is the King. Notice what they say. "Do not write the King of the Jews." But he said, "I am the King of the Jews." They didn't like this title. And so sadly today, people don't want a king. They do not want a lord, because they would have to obey him. They would be responsible to him. Luke 6, verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that which I say?" Jesus asks. People call him Lord. People want him Lord, but they do not obey him. We must obey the Savior. We must serve the Savior. Our lives are to serve and to glorify our King and our Lord. And yet, as it is written above him, the King of the Jews, our Savior, and they disagree. He said he is the King of the Jews. And so as we look at our Savior upon the cross, we see yet this indignity, that while he is truly Lord of Lords and King of Kings, they would deny him that title because of their own ideas, because they wanted the Savior they wanted. And so often we want the Savior we want and not the Savior we need. We need the Savior, the Christ of the Bible, prophesied and fulfilled as we look at him in our passage this morning. Now, as we look at him, we must notice that he is in charge in his crucifixion. While he is being put to death, he is not losing the battle. He is winning the battle. We have been seeing this throughout the Gospel of John. John 10, verse 18 says, "No one takes it from me," Jesus says, "but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Our Savior is in charge. As we look at him in contact with his beloved disciple and with his mother and with those looking on, we see him not resigned in death, not resigned to death, but giving his life. He loves his followers. He loves his mother. and his disciple John. We see him caring for his mother. Now we notice that she's not a young woman at this time, for this time. Now we think of her, Jesus is 30 years older in that area right now. And we think, well, his mother isn't much older than that. She's young. But indeed, she was reaching the span of life of those at this time. And so Christ is caring for his mother in her old age. He is providing for her and providing for her later years. Our Savior does not forget about us, no matter what the trials of our lives. He loves, he cares for us. Our Savior in his crucifixion is not defeated, but is defeating. He has won the victory. He has overcome death. So that as we look upon him on the cross, as we see him crucified under the title, the King of the Jews, we do not see a defeat, but we see a victory. We see the greatest victory of history over death, over hell, over Satan. He has, as the prophecy of Genesis 3 verse 18, he has bruised the head of the serpent, the death blow. And so those who believe on him have eternal life. He bears his cross. He is crucified in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. He is our Savior, the King of the Jews, loving, caring for us, giving his life in his crucifixion, so that those who would believe on him might have eternal life. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness, including an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, Post Office Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible or in general or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have churches of the Reformed Church in the United States in Minot and Anamosa, North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Hamburg and Golden Valley in Minnesota. We would like to invite those in Jamestown, North Dakota area to Bible studies being held at the Gladstone Inn and Suites. That's just north of downtown Jamestown at 111 2nd Street Northeast. These will be on Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Again, if you have any questions, that number is 701-288-3265. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.